Amen. All right. Well, we had a wonderful week, and actually a wonderful 2 weeks. The shepherds had a wonderful time with their Bible school, and we just always enjoy that. But it's always nice to get the auditorium back. Amen. That's the thing about it. You know, it's a lot of fun, and all the Christmas trees were beautiful. Actually, this time it was, I think, more beautiful than the last, because the first time we did it, we didn't know, we just kind of just did it. And this time we kind of thought through it a little bit, and it just was beautiful, beautiful display, very workable for Bible school. Everything was fantastic, but then just great results, and what a blessing that was, and appreciate all the help. So many involved, so many praying. And I don't know, several people said, "Pastor, I can't really be involved, but I'm praying." And so that's always good to know, and certainly a blessing. And I know folks are. And just such a good spirit. Last Sunday, what a great service. And the Lord blessed, and we had just had a great day, and people baptized. And so anyway, praise the Lord. We're excited, and I'm excited about finishing up Revelation possibly today. Hard to believe, isn't it? It really is amazing. I had a Gabby was wanting me to show her my outline, and I showed her this lesson 37, just showed it, started showing her, and she was looking at it, and she said, "Now, is that the whole book of Revelation?" I just laughed. I said, no, that's why it's taken 3 years. She said, "How long does it take you to get all that?" Well, when you do a book of the Bible, it's the study is endless. I mean, it's, you know, you think somebody, well, 3 years, surely you covered everything. We didn't. We just covered such a small amount. And I know it seems long, and it seems like it's been a lot. It has been a lot of material, but God's word's eternal. So you try to think about that and try to imagine how you could possibly ever, you know, go through a book of the Bible in any amount of time here on this earth. Now, when we get to heaven, we'll have Jesus just go ahead and teach it all to us. And we'll have all eternity. We won't have to worry about this, that, and the other to do. What a blessing that'll be. Well, Revelation 21, 6 and 7 are memory verses. And we don't have a big sign like we did at Vacation Bible School. But on the other side of that, we don't have anybody turning it upside down either. Right? So hopefully your paper's right side up as we say this. Perhaps for the last time for this class, verses 6 and 7 of Revelation 21, we'll say the references, and then we'll say the passage and then the reference again. And begin. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And again, Revelation 21, 6 and 7. "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Revelation 21, 6 and 7. Father, thank you for being our God. Thank you for the promises of your precious book. Lord, it is so wonderful to know that you are our God, and we can be your son. And that means you're watching over everything. You know what's going on. You know about the different rulings of the Supreme Court. You know about the storms that hit and the floods and all of that. And you're certainly able to handle it all. Just help us, Lord, to trust you and rely on you and to have a wonderful day today. Thank you for a great couple of weeks and last Sunday, and just all the decisions, all the things you've been doing for us. We thank you for it, and we just look forward to what you're going to do today. Help us to listen, and that our lives might be different because of today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we're on the last page of the, well, not quite the back page, not my back page anyway, but Do you need lesson 37? Anyone need our last lesson 37? All right, Brother Herndon's done an excellent job getting those out. And again, we are at the end here, Revelation 22. We have covered the future destiny, Revelation 21, 1 to 9. We've talked about the fabulous description given here, Revelation 21 through 22, 5. And then we talked about the faithful deity, which is Roman numeral 3, Revelation 22, 6 to 16. And we have come to the final declaration and Revelation 22, 17 through 21. It says in verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And we are there. We are so close. So, we started last week with capital A under Roman numeral 4, an invitation. So there is an invitation given here. And again, in view of verse 11, verse 15, the fact that he is returning, and for some it'll be obviously once he returns it'll be too late, there's an invitation given. And number one, we see the Spirit says come. Verse 17, the Spirit says come. A constant and a continual invitation to come from the Holy Spirit of God. We talked about this, how the Holy Spirit's conviction is an amazing thing. I have never gotten over his convicting power. I've never gotten over the times that I've said, "Shh, leave me alone." And it's hard to believe we would ever say that, isn't it? But we do. And whenever we do our own thing, we know what we shouldn't do. We know what we should do. We know, and yet we quench the Holy Spirit of God, or we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Actually, both take place when we sin. And yet he just keeps convicting. He convicted me when I was lost. Kept convicting. I didn't have to be sitting in church, though in church it was certainly a lot tougher when that invitation was given. Whenever that pastor would say, it didn't matter which church or which camp I happened to be at, if the pastor said heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you know, the old hands up. By the way, it used to be, even the Wesleyan, I went to a Wesleyan church camp, they always gave an invitation. They always had a show of hands. That's the first time I saw that. When they said, if you're saved, raise your hand, and I would not lie. Now, I knew. I had buddies. I had a buddy on this side and a buddy on that side, and they were not saved, and they would raise their hands because they told me, they said, you know, these people are going to get on your back if you don't raise your hand. But I wasn't going to lie. I wasn't saved, and I knew I wasn't saved. And, and then I remember how the different times that I would think, don't raise your hand, don't raise your hand, don't raise your hand, don't raise your hand. If you're not saved and you want us to pray for you, raise your hand. And I'd say, don't raise your hand, don't raise your hand, don't raise. Why did you raise your hand? And then, you know, here'd come the youth director or somebody. They'd come over and, you know, and it's like, why do you do that? But it's the Holy Spirit, and he would deal with me. And it wasn't just in church. It was in other places. But he should still be dealing with us. And I hope you never get to that place where I just don't want it, because that's when you quit going to church and you figure, you know, I'll just stay away from all that. Don't read my Bible. Because conviction is it's a tough thing, but praise God for it. It's the parent telling his child, don't do that or do that or stay away from there. Don't go there. So the Holy Spirit is saying to the lost, come. He says, come, and he does convict. Again, I want to remind you, you know, when you hand out a tract, when you talk to somebody, when you go soul winning, it's not you. Your part is simply to tell them. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. But we're so foolish that we somehow think that it's, you know, that it's all on us. No, it's on you just to get them the word, whether with your mouth or with a tract. Clark and I were talking about his little smiley tracts. Who knows how many people have been saved with those little smiley tracts? And just get the word out. Tell them. However you can do it, and then leave it up to the Holy Spirit of God. And He does a work. We know that. If you yourself are saved, you know that. And so He says to come. The Bible says not only the Spirit, but the Spirit and the bride say come. That's you and I. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be going out and telling folks to come. Vacation Bible school, that's what it was all about. Hey, folks, kids, the King is coming. You need to be ready. You need to be prepared. Oh, yes, they had cookies. Yes, they had Kool-Aid. Yes, they spilled it. And yes, they puked it. We had all that take place, and it's pretty typical. But they had prizes. They had squirt guns. They had toys. But I'm telling you, over and over and over in class, in memory verses, in what all went on in here, and I don't even know how to describe that, but they heard, come. Please come. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Because if you come to Jesus, you'll be saved. But it's the best life in the world. There is no better life. And so we preach it. We teach it. The Bible tells us to go and tell it and be a witness. What is a witness? A witness tells what happened. And, you know, anybody who's saved can just tell what happened. Tell what happened to you, how you got saved. And the kids saw that over and over, and we need to just keep going and being that witness. It is our commission to tell people that they need to come. And then, obviously, it doesn't end there. We not only tell them to come and get saved, but then we tell them, come to Christ in prayer. Spend time. Come to church and grow. Come to church and serve God. Come to church and get a CDL. Amen. And, you know, all those things. And, you know, the church, that's our message. That's our message. You know, we just tell folks to come. I couldn't help but notice on the news today, a church in Toledo, I won't mention the name, but it's not a Baptist church, just one of those feel-good kind of a things, but real big, real big. And they're going to be big because it's all feel-good. But they're having instead of church tonight, they're having a 5K run. You know, just so now we're going to, I just don't know what that has to do with Jesus. But 5K run and then fireworks, which I understand the fireworks. I've always wanted to have a church-wide, you know, where we could invite people to fire. Of course, you don't have to invite people. They just sit in their yard and watch because they go up. But anyway, and if they give out tracts, that'd be wonderful. But our everything we do ought to be built around come. Come to Jesus. He'll save you if you'll come to Him. So, and then it says this, and it's very interesting. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. So everybody who hears is to pass it on and tell others to come, if you just hear it. And again, we have the idea of, well, folks hear it and get saved, and they say to come, but it is interesting how unsaved people will also say, well, there's a church over there. That's all they talk about is getting saved. I hope that's our testimony. I really do. I think it is still in so many ways. We hear it often. Well, we know you guys, that's what you're going to talk about. We know you're going to give an invitation. We know this is going to happen. I've had parents say we send our kids to your Bible school because we know what they're going to hear, and that's how it should be. So let all who hear, and let him that heareth say, come. And then it says, let him that is athirst come. And those who are thirsty, he is a water of life, amen. And it's an eternal stream. It never, never runs out. A couple of verses, Matthew 5 and verse 6. Matthew 5 and verse 6. I don't know, you know, if more of us were talking about how Jesus satisfies our thirst, it certainly seems like the world would take note of that. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled and blessed there. The idea of blessed, obviously, to be blessed, but to be happy. You know, you want to find fulfillment. We have the world searching everywhere. They're looking at pornography. They're looking at chat rooms. They're looking at drugs and alcohol. Of course, that's old, and smoking and worldly things and all that. And, you know, all these movies and all that kind of stuff. Well, I'm just trying to find something. Well, the Bible says, blessed are they which do, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, then you will be filled. And then John 7, verse 37, John chapter 7 and verse 37, the Bible says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So again, the whole idea, let him that is athirst come. Again, you notice in verse 17, all these references to coming to Jesus Christ. And how do we come? We come by faith. We come by, you know, well, I don't see. Well, you're not going to see. It's by faith that you come. And that's how I came. That's how you came, if you're saved today. And then the wonderful truth, it says in verse 17, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whoever's willing. It has no other qualification there. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, I'm so glad there's no other qualification. Just whosoever will. Are you willing? Are you willing? When I got saved, the question now over and over, well, are you willing? We cannot force people to be saved. We cannot make people get. It's impossible. It can't. They just have to be willing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And whosoever will. So all they have to be, they have to be thirsty and they have to be willing. Amen. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad it's like that, because we all are thirsty. And the question is, you know, is a person willing to come to Jesus Christ? And let him take the water of life. And the Bible says freely, no charge. Remember when water was free? My wife and I, years ago, I don't know how many years ago it was, but years ago we were driving along and she was drinking a lot of water and she had her cup and it kind of spilled out or something. I said, you know, they ought to put water in cans, because back then everything was cans, pop and everything else. I said, they ought to put water in cans and sell it. She said, honey, nobody would ever buy water. To this day, I tell her, babe, do you realize how rich we would be? Doug's water. Can you see it? People would have bought it. And so give her a hard time about that. You know, we could be building a brand new building. But anyway, you know, it is amazing that we pay for water now, but not his water. Isn't that wonderful? It's free. Come freely. Let him take the water of life freely. And it's available to anybody. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter your color. Doesn't matter how much money you make or have, or anything about that. If you just have to be thirsty and willing to drink. Oh, I love that. I love that invitation. So we have the invitation, then capital B. We have a warning here as well. And verse 18 is very familiar. Verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And so we have a warning here. First of all, we're not to add to God's words. We're not to, add to it. We're not. Again, the Bible issue is a huge issue. It still is a huge issue. Do we have the Word of God or not? Is the King James Bible the Word of God, or is it not the Word of God? And our argument has been for many, 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 many years now that if it's not, what is? Amen. And if it is, how can anything else be? And the argument is always, you know, if they're not the same, then they're different, and so you can't have all of them being the Word of God. And so we're not going to get into all that right now, but we're not to add to. So comes to our minds the Apocrypha, which is the books in between the New and the Old Testament the Catholics accept. The Book of Mormon, you know, the Mormons, of course, they believe that is the Word of God, and other cults and different groups and all that. But God says don't add to them. Don't add to the words that God has given. And there will be plagues. Obviously, they're lost. There is the question here of somebody who tampers with the Word of God, not only being lost, but also would they have some type of extra punishment? There are many people that believe in different levels of hell and different punishment. To me, hell alone is it's hell. It's terrible. It's the worst thing we can imagine. And, you know, the fire, all of that is a terrible thing. But the separation from God, the no hope, to me, I just think would be, it's just hard to even imagine. But again, that God is so strong about people messing with his words. Again, the Garden of Eden, go all the way back there. Yea, hath God said. The serpent said to Eve, and mankind is plunged into sin. Again, you know, we realize it was a choice that people made, and you and I would have made the same choice. Don't get all pious, you know, well, that Eve, it's all her fault. Adam, they just didn't. Well, you know, we make those wrong choices all the time, and we actually have how many Bibles in our homes? probably most of us have several. So, again, then it talks about not only the adding to, but in verse 19 it says, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. So we're not to change anything. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have to have every word. And so we're not to add to those words. We're not to take away from those words. We have to have every word. And it is an interesting thing here. You've heard me teach or preach on this before different times in the time that I've been here. I believe this for many years, that when it talks here about God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book, I'm just going to be brief right now, but that is not losing your salvation, because you can't lose your salvation. It is impossible to lose our salvation. But I believe that our part is that I believe every person has a part in the death of Jesus Christ. The Bible says clearly that Jesus died for every person. I believe we all have a part, and he was slain before the foundation of the world. So our part was purchased before this world was ever created in the mind of God. And so, again, you know, I know we sing the song, there's a new name written down in glory and all these different, I'm not going to argue with you about songs and stuff. I just believe that is what it's talking about as far as our part. In other words, your name is removed, obviously, when you reject Christ for the last time. And we have Old Testament thinking about this when Moses referred to this when he was praying for the people, and God said, I'll just destroy them all. And Moses said, remove my part from the book that thou hast written. And so, or blot out my name, I believe he said, from the book. And so we again, I don't want to get in, I've gotten into it deeper before, but I believe that's what he saw. The point is, we're not to add to or take away from the Word of God. That is a very, very serious thing as far as God is concerned. And so it is something he says we are definitely not to do. And then we have capital C, and that is a promise. A promise. Verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And of course, that's the Lord Jesus. He there refers to Jesus. verse 7, it says, behold, I come quickly. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And so here is a promise. The quickly here, I think it could mean either thing, or maybe it means both things. It means when, as far as coming quickly. again, you know, 2,000, well, that was 2,000 years ago. I mean, and if it was soon then it's got to be sooner now. Amen. And then I think it also means how it's coming quickly. The rapture will be very quick, but the second coming will be very quick. The Battle of Armageddon is not even a battle. You know, I mean, really, as we look at battles and all, I mean, he speaks and it's done. And so, praise the Lord. He says, I come quickly. And I like the word surely there. Surely, I come quickly. What is it? That's a promise. That is a promise. It is sure. Surely is amen. It is verily. It is no doubt about it. I'm coming. No doubt about it. Now, folks, you know, all these things just this week, you know, all the different Supreme Court and things that are going on and all these different things. You got to understand that God told us these things are going to happen. God made that very clear in Scripture. Men will wax worse and worse. It gets worse and worse. I mean, come on, we've been preaching against the teaching of evolution for years, which says man's getting better and better. Do we believe what we've preached or not? Man is getting worse and worse. And, you know, things may be better and better as far as comforts and all that. I mean, we all like some of the, it's nice to drive. I'd rather drive than go ride a horse. Especially what we did yesterday. In my mind, I'm thinking we were north of Flint, and then we had to, through all that rain and storms and wind and everything, we had to drive down to Toledo, to the hospital, and then back here, and praise the Lord for windshield wipers. And even with them, it was pretty hard to see. I mean, it really was. If you were out yesterday, you know what I'm talking about. But we like all the modern, you know, some of the conveniences. We've gotten kind of used to microwaves, and I like my Keurig coffee maker. That's kind of neat. And, you know, we like some of those things. We really love our special effects now at our Vacation Bible School. Amen. I mean, to be able to watch the devil blow up, that was exciting. And then to walk out and see pieces of him all over the... And kids saying, oh, don't touch that. You'll get sin. Well, anyway, in fact, I wish we had a video of the children seeing the hair out there on the stairway. It was really funny. But anyway, that has nothing to do with this. But we like all that. We like the things that are going on. But let's recognize, man's getting worse and worse. We're voting weird, odd. But we're voting sinful. And we're voting for ourselves, and we want what we can get. And mankind is, even America, it's happened in other countries, but we're just shocked that we can't even believe these things are happening in America. And why shouldn't we believe it? We've been preaching it. Again, we don't want it to happen, but it is happening. And we're going to keep just doing what we do. Amen. Okay, well, praise the Lord. So John says, amen. Jesus says, surely I come quickly. I think John says, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Verily, verily, verily. Amen. You know, come, Lord Jesus. You know, every time I talk to teenagers about this, or young people about to get married, about to have a baby and all, you know, I'd kind of like the Lord to wait. And, well, it's not up to us, but... I understand what they're saying. Don't be hard on people that say that. Don't be down. Hey, you know, you ought to be thrilled that Jesus is. I mean, here we are with our arthritis, our bald heads, our teeth falling out, our eyes dimming, our hearing. What? You know, all that. And we're, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And then we have to get our arms down after that. Oh, you know. Understand these young people that, you know, they aren't totally as pumped about that. They'd like to get where we are, maybe. I'm not sure they would be able to, the way things are going, to be honest. I just, it's hard to imagine. But anyway, not a predictor, just a preacher. So there is a promise. Ushers, if you'll come, let me give you the last thing here. And then we are done with the book of Revelation. It says after, in my super giant print Bible, it says Bible reading helps is next. So that's my next section. Oh, that's a lot. we come to verse 21, and he gives us what I put as capital D, a blessing, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And don't just pass over that verse, folks. Honestly, don't just you know, oh, that's nice. Again, it is, I realize it's the end of the book. It's the end of the letter, if you will. It's the end. It is the Word of God, though. And what a fitting way to end the Bible, to end the reading, the words that God gave. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I think of John, and I think of John, and remember when we started 3 years ago on this, and we talked about John. We kind of speculate, different authors, different writers say different things about John, that he was boiled in oil and left to die on the island, and those different things. Don't really know about all that. The Bible doesn't say that he was boiled in oil, but yet he was left in exile on the Isle of Patmos as punishment. And what he found, how many times did he say, I saw the Lord? What he went through that we have read about as God revealed to him. Here's what I think he's trying to say. He's trying to say to us, that same grace is available to you. That same grace that he experienced all alone. He's saying, I wasn't alone. He's saying, it wasn't just me. It was my Lord holding me, caring for me, and showing me things. Do you understand? Again, I'm not talking about spooky stuff. I'm not talking about God riding across the sky or anything. I'm talking about, though, God does reveal things to us as we read his word. He's probably not going to reveal anything to you watching your usual TV show. He might. He might reveal to you that that's wicked and you ought not watch it. But the point is, as you spend time with him on your knees in prayer, as you spend time with him reading his word, he'll reveal things to you too. You say, I'm going through a tough time. Get in the Word of God. Read the Psalms. Read some Proverbs. Read Ecclesiastes. You know, get in your Bible, get on your knees and talk to the Lord. Spend some time alone with him and let him do to you what he did to John. John is saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, just like it was with me. Just like God showed his grace. Oh, I'll be honest, as John, some of the things John saw, he couldn't possibly understand, as we talked about. Couldn't possibly grasp all that he saw, and it had to be very frightening to him as it's revealed. You know, a lot of things in the Word of God are very frightening to me as I read them and I see them. Maybe the most frightening thing is just how wicked I can be compared to him. That's a frightening thing. It ought to be frightening to every one of us. But God's grace, for by grace are you what? Saved. Ha! Wow, for by grace are you saved. It hadn't got anything to do with my works. It hadn't got anything to do with what all I've done. It has everything to do with his grace. And so that's why we have all the songs about grace. It's people that realize it really is all about his amazing, amazing grace.